A UFO in China's skies forced Zhaoshan Airport to stop operations on July 7th. Outbound flights were grounded after the unidentified flying object was detected by a flight crew.
Some Chinese residents are on edge this morning after another apparent UFO sighting. It's the second one in 2 weeks. The first sighting was on July 7th, and an airport had to be shut down.
All right, that's a UFO if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, can you identify it?
That's undeniable.
After people apparently saw twinkling lights above the airport terminal, 17 flights had to be diverted. The latest sighting happened.
Scientists from all over the world are trying to figure out what caused a mysterious blue light to spiral in the sky over Norway on Wednesday.
As UFO sightings go, this one was as good or as weird as it gets.
A light appearing high in the Arctic sky, baffling those who saw it and exciting a lot of comment.
That tonight, Norwegian authorities were investigating strange lights seen in the Arctic sky. The spiraling white light was seen for several minutes Wednesday morning.
A strange spiraling white light was spotted in the early morning sky over Sydney, with even skeptical witnesses wondering if it was a UFO. The unusual sight was recorded by hundreds of people from Victoria north to Queensland.
A spiral in the sky around a bright light.
Scientists left baffled by an unexplained circular light seen hovering high over Moscow on Wednesday evening. People described seeing a white circular formation in the sky.
Proof we're not alone in the universe. A UFO in the form of a bright light is seen descending over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. The video is said to be taken over the weekend. Then suddenly the light shoots up into the sky. There you see it.
Now it is sparking intense debate on the internet. Trace Gallagher following this live from our West Coast News. So the question is, what was that UFO? What was it doing over Jerusalem? And, you know, is he back?
Yeah, and that is the question, by the way, Megan, because, you know, critics, it's difficult for them to dismiss this because there are so many different angles. We've got four different videos, all from various perspectives.
Well, I wish I could give you an answer to this bizarre sighting. I really can't, but I can tell you that earlier today, there were dozens and dozens of people right here on 23rd and 8th. They were standing right here, and they were all in a stupor, just crowded together, looking into the sky.
Well, a lot of people are looking up. It's because of a mystery in the sky. Is it a balloon, a UFO? Whatever it is, it sure has a lot of people talking. Eyewitness News reporter Jeff Begays is live in Chelsea, where crowds have gathered. Jeff, what's this all about?
Well, Sade, we don't know.
Is very close, and the American people need to prepare themselves very soon for an announcement from our government that there is, in fact, extraterrestrial presence engaging this planet and the human race.
From the heart and backbones of America, and live from the G&B Show Studios, this is your World News Benedict Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, Demon Hunter.
That would be me. Hello, Mr. Burris.
Hello.
Mr. Ghost Man, Mr. Sean, how are you doing tonight?
I am good, sir. How are you? Did you brush the dust off your microphone?
I did brush the dust off my microphone, and I think dust fell in it while I was doing it.
I think it did, because we had some audio scratchiness. Is that the technical term?
I think they'd call it hum. I think it's a hum.
Hey, G&D Nation, the Shadow Nation, we are apologized for the last 2 weekends we've been off. We had some in-house problems, haven't we, Demon Hunter? Yeah, it's been rough. It's been rough the last couple of weeks, but we are back now, and what a show we got tonight. It's going to be a hot one.
Oh, it's definitely a hot one, Sean, because as everybody knows who works in any kind of studio situation, studios tend to have the worst possible air conditioning.
Yes, they do.
because we don't want that external hum. We don't want to hear the it blowing, and so we melt in here. We melt for you, ladies and gentlemen. For you, we melt.
We melt and swelt.
And we also discovered that my chair needs to be replaced here, Sean.
That's it. Hey, Demon Hunter, we are going out live at our new home, 102.7 FM The Hog, Stitcher, Smart Radio, and Planet Paranormal. Thanks, guys, for being so cool. Yeah, yeah, it's great. They get a bonus, though. We're the greatest show on Earth when it comes to strange and weird and goofy stuff. Hey, I got a question for you, Demon Hunter. I was pondering this today.
I'm listening.
Are you ready?
I don't like when you start like that. I'm waiting for the punchline. Okay,
I was thinking, because I seen this thing on television, and another guy was reporting it was a mountain monster, river monster, smoke monster, whatever show they got out this week. But they reported seeing, you know, yet again, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, what have you. We cover so
How
many.
How could you confuse Nessie and Sasquatch?
Well, I don't know. It just, you know, so much. We've been off the air for 2 weeks, so. But no, I was wondering, because, you know, it's always a dude or a girl, and they're walking down a trail, and they see Bigfoot. Now, I'm not saying that I don't believe in Bigfoot, because you know I have an open mind. I do believe in that.
Open his brain leaks out, ladies and gentlemen.
That's true. It comes out the ears. But what I'm saying is I am not close to the possibility of a Sasquatch. You know, Native Americans believed in it. They also believed in fairies and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, it's a possibility. I wouldn't go in the woods, you know. And if I knew a Sasquatch was in there, I don't know. But anyway, I was wondering, out of all these reports that we get a year, how many would you say we get a year, Bigfoot sightings? All over the United States. We'll just cover United States.
Just the United States? You got me beat, man. I mean, that's...
Would you say 20 or like a more towards 100? What?
Oh, man.
You should probably Google that.
I should Google that. I'm going to Google that right now.
Google
how
right
many?
Now. Let me hear you type. How many Bigfoot sighting reports do we get in the United States of America per year?
Okay, let's see here. With the search of how many reports of Bigfoot?
Do not exclude
in the year,
the trailer
USA.
Parks. Yeah, do not exclude trailer parks.
Bigfoot pictures, Bigfoot field research organization.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll just keep looking and we'll keep talking because this radio,
say.
Nobody wants to hear me search.
It doesn't say. That's amazing. I thought it would pop right up and say, like, I'm going to go ahead and put my bet in 60 a year.
I'm going to guess closer to 70, but...
So we're going to do potato, potato then. 60, 70. You just want to top me.
I'm like that guy in The Price is Right. When you bid $250, I'll take 251.
All right. But what I was going to say is you constantly hear about, hey, I was outside my cabin, I was taking a leak, and lo and behold, there's Sasquatch, right? And he's beating on a tree with a stick or a rock or whatever. But you never hear. And remember, Bigfoot's closest primates, they say, is he's the missing link between humans and apes, right?
Yes, that's what I've heard.
Okay. Because he would be attracted to both apes and humans, yes? And there's no apes in the United States that I know of, unless they're in the zoo. Why don't you hear about Bigfoot rapings in the woods? You know?
Well, why, you know, you don't hear about chimpanzees raping people either.
Well, it's true. But, you know. Well, chimpanzees, I mean, well, yeah, you've heard about, that's
chimpanzee
true.
Attacks.
Yeah, but that's different. This is the missing link. Maybe chimpanzees aren't, they're not the missing link. Maybe
but
they're
why
not,
does the chimpanzee, why does the Bigfoot have to be a missing link? I mean, why can't he be Gigantopithecus Americanus?
Because they've always referred to him as the missing link. Unless it is Gigantopithecus or whatever. You know. Yeah.
Gigantopithecus. No,
say it.
Gigantopithecus Americanus was a giant ape. It wasn't a missing link. It was just a giant ape.
From prehistoric times. Yeah.
You know, during, you know, 15,000, 25,000 years ago, lived here in the U.S.
Wait, didn't the Christians
all
say...
over, but, you know, this particular one...
Aren't the creationists saying 6,000 years ago, we used to ride dinosaurs like... We're not laughing at you guys, but we are, because, you know, God gave us science, if you believe in that sort of thing. And
well, you know what, Sean? I have told people a million times, I have a lot of respect for people who can look in the face of science and say, I don't believe that because it's against my faith.
Well, I
and I'm not joking there, folks. I honestly do. I mean, they can carbon date something, but hell, they've carbon dated cockroaches that were alive that dated back 10,000 years. So how well does it really work all the time?
Right. Well, I don't know. I think, and I had said this before, I have been quoted, quote, let me remember the quote now. Science, both science and religion are 50% fact and 50% illusion, end quote. By Sean Burris, the ghost man.
Huh? Okay, but that's like the saying of like three statisticians go out into the woods to go hunting. One shoots and misses a deer by 3 feet behind it. One shoots and misses it by 3 feet in front of it. And the other one goes, well, I obviously got it. Let's go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a good one?
I don't know. That was a joke. That was a good joke if you're a statistician.
Oh, wow. Yeah, if you're a statistician. Oh, wow. That was a flop, man. That was a good try, though. I like that. That was a very good
try. Hey, we all have to start somewhere. Yeah, I've only had 8 years of practice.
Ooh. But I did see that you might ask yourself, Sean, why are you on this Bigfoot kick? Go ahead and ask yourself.
Why are you on this Bigfoot kick? Last time we were on a Bigfoot kick, Sean.
It was in the news.
You walked away unhappy at the end of the night. So why are you now?
Well, you picked all the news stories that night. We had like 45 Bigfoot sightings that week. You know,
Bigfoot was in the news. What could I do?
There's the answer to our question. We had like 40 news stories in 1 month about Bigfoot. No, I'm on this kick because I seen this movie and it's called Bigfoot: The Lost Case Files or something like that. And they tried to go with the Blair Witch approach, if you will. For those of you who haven't seen Blair Witch, it was very first-person shooter running around with the Hi-8 camcorder. It's a little bit better, to tell you the truth, since they made a fortune off of that Blair Witch thing. And I don't think they did so well with this, but it was really good. I mean, I can't tell you the ending, but wow, it was very exciting, Demon, huh?
Well, you know, Blair Witch Project was the first of its kind that was released to the mass media.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's in your mind now. You're thinking Bigfoot again.
I am. Bigfoot's
We haven't gone on a Bigfoot hunt in a long time. You and I should get out there and do a Bigfoot hunt. Sean, I can't find how many Sasquatches are sighted in America every year.
I don't understand this. Why not?
I don't know. You'd think it'd be an easy Google search, wouldn't you?
Right. Well, yeah, you would think so. Demon Hunter, I got something, and we're going to cover it later, too, on the Legend X, because I think the people joining later need to understand it. Very serious story, man. Very serious story. It's been in the news the last couple weeks. You might have heard of it. The Slender Man.
The Slender Man.
The Slender Man. Have you heard about this?
It's a fake, right?
The Slender Man, he was created.
Right.
For something awful, the internet forum.
Okay.
And it's basically, I guess we're not going to have much to cover in the the Legends series tonight.
Well, why don't we go straight into Legend X then? We'll throw our format out the window, Sean.
Do you want to do Legend X?
Legend X.
Okay, guys. We're going to mix it up. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
You're always ready. I'm hitting the wrong clips there. Legend X, guys. It's an original G&D show series. That means Nathan and myself came up with it. Where each week we cover the United States and the world. Heck, the world. And we try to bring you all the legends to find out if there's fact or fiction behind it. From the Frogman to the Mothman to the Werewolf to the Ghostly Lady that roams Archer Avenue. This week's legend that we bring to you is
the Slender Man.
That's it. Slender Man, baby. If you guys, yeah, charges, huh? Waukesha preteens attempt to kill classmate. Very sad story, Demon Hunter.
It sounds sad.
It is sad. Apparently, these young ladies, this is very upsetting. Apparently, it says the Slender Man was created on a thread in Something Awful internet forum. It began on June 8th in 2009 with the goal of editing photographs to contain supernatural entities. Says June 10th, a forum poster with the username Victor Surge contributed two black and white images of groups of children, to which he added a tall, thin, spectral figure wearing a black suit.
I think I saw this on Supernatural.
You probably did, or you will soon. Previous entries had consisted solely of photographs. However, Serge supplemented his submission with snatches of text, supposedly from witnesses describing the abductions of the groups of children and giving the character the name the Slender Man. Huh?
Huh? Okay. Yeah. I got that. I can deal with that.
You can deal with that. We didn't want to go. We didn't want to kill. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and confronted us at the same time. 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead, it says. Yeah. One of the two recovering photographs from the Sterling Center Library blaze was saved, apparently. They're talking about the... a lot of them are speculating now. Of course, there has to be the Something Awful Internet Forum is saying it was made for them. It was put on their website by a guy under the name of Victor Serge, which in the news has came forward here recently, saying that he's outraged and very, you know, upset about the current killings by these teenage girls. Preteens, Demon Hunter. But yeah, these people are coming out showing photographs now online. You guys can look it up, Slender Man, and people are saying, you know, that he's a real thing.
Okay.
That he shows up in films. I think you've seen these. If you look up Slender Man, you'll see things in the background. I think there was an old like rock video. It says this thing has deformities, no face. People have seen bad things happen. Sounds familiar.
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, these teenagers do fall into quick belief and start following en masse. I can attest to this because I tried to go out and see X-Men the other night, and I couldn't get in because a fault in our stars apparently came out, and the parking lot was full because every teenage girl for 35 miles around had to come and see this movie. So I think when one says they... believe in it, they like it, that it's cool, they all follow.
Yeah, but it doesn't, you don't see people killing each other in the name of, you know, Wolverine. You know, anyway, Demon Hunter, headline news, Slender Man, victim stabbed 19 times, released from hospital. Very serious story, folks, and this is by Parrish Dave from the Contact Reporter. Thanks, guys, for that. It says a cheerful summer filled with cats, loud pop music, and probably some French practice awaited a 12-year-old Wisconsin girl who survived 19 stab wounds, Demon Hunter.
Jeez Louise.
Allegedly inflicted by a pair of preteens trying to make a sacrifice to a fictional character. Yeah, yeah. The girl, whose name hasn't been disclosed by authorities, was released from a Waukesha, Wisconsin hospital on Friday. 6 days after the stabbing, her family said in a statement, "While we have kept discussion about the events of May 31st, 2014, with her short," I guess that happened in May, "we did ask how she found the strength to crawl out of the woods. The family said her response was simple. I wanted to live. A bicyclist found the bloody 12-year-old girl a week ago."
Hey, Sean, you know what that means? It means it's time for us to tell everybody who's listening to us on 102.7 The Hog that we'll be right back after this. For those of you who are listening to us on every other station that carries us all around the world, stick around because this is only going to take a second.
And we're back, Shadow Nation. We're back. We got to get that fixed. This is our first time, guys, doing the thing for The Hog Radio. And you might know, Demon Hunter, you might explain to him when I get done with the story what we're doing there.
Sure. Why don't we finish the story and then we'll go into that.
Yeah. Anyway, the bicyclist found a bloody 12-year-old girl a week ago in the middle of a path in Waukesha. The family described her as a strong, brave girl with a love for life and a dramatic sparkle of any typical 12-year-old girl in her eye. Her favorite class is French, which she uses to torment her little brother. She also enjoys annoying her parents by blasting Taylor Swift and Katy Perry music, the family said. Her two cats are expected to be at her side as she recovers. Her family said that she also has planned to volunteer at a local animal shelter this summer, suggesting that those plans have been scrapped.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Although the sparkle has dimmed for now, we know it will be back again brighter than ever because of the amazing support she has worldwide, the family said. Huh?
Oh, that is a sad, sad story.
Check this out, Demon Hunter.
Why are you bringing me down, man?
I know. Morgan Geyser and Anissa Weir, both 12 years of age, have been charged as adults with attempted murder in the attack on their friend.
Now, how is it that they're giving the names out? Because, as you know, I used to be a journalist.
Right.
And we were never allowed to give the names of minors out until they were convicted of a crime.
I'm sure this is going to get dropped, or they're going to go to juvie hall, and that's why the courts have came out and tried them as adults. And that opens up a whole nother can of worms to talk about children being tried as adults. But, you know, this is a heinous crime. This is terrible.
Yeah, and I suppose if they're being tried as adults, that's what gives the papers the right to print their names.
Yeah. The pair had allegedly plotted the attack for months, Demon Hunter, after reading online about a fictional character named Slenderman, a tall, ghost-like figure who shows up in the background of photos from haunted places.
Well, you know, people sit around wondering how it is that all those many years ago, people thought that sacrificing a young virgin on top of a pyramid would bring rain and good crops for the end of, for the next year.
Right.
And this is how it happens, folks. One story gets out, one person believes, other people follow.
Yeah, and that's scary. You know, I have a daughter, and hey, guys, that's Legend X.
Sean, going into what just happened there, folks, as some of you or all of you have been listening should probably know by now, we're now being heard on 102.7 FM, The Hog.
Oink, oink.
And we, every 18 minutes, we're supposed to take a stop to just let them fit in their commercials. It will not affect those of you listening to us live or on podcast, but for those of you listening to us out there in 102.7 world, this is our chance to explain what happened. When we first tried to do this, everybody said, oh, I don't like the way you guys are taking your breaks, blah, blah, blah. Not the radio station, obviously, but our listeners, the people that we listen to on how we're going to do our show. And so we figured we'd just load some music to start every 18 minutes or so. And when that starts playing, we know we have to take a quick break, and then we can come right back on. And the show is barely interrupted for you, our Shadow Nation.
People are probably like, geez, oh, Pete, here they go again. We'll get it, guys. Just give us a couple. Give us a learning edge there, you know? We need.
It took us 8 years to get this far.
Yeah, it took us 8 years. Without further ado, Shadow Nation, Demon Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
I'm afraid.
Tonight's guest.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tonight's guest, Dr. Lynn Kitai. She's an internationally acclaimed physician and health educator. In 1995, she witnessed something that several thousand others did. The lights in the sky, known as the Phoenix Lights. She's the author of the book, The Phoenix Lights, A Skeptic's Discovery That We Are Not Alone. This is going to be a good one, Demon Hunter. She is a known MD. Very, very educated lady, and she witnessed these lights. Not just Bubba from the trailer parks or some homeless guy on the street, but you have medical doctors, scientists baffled by what happened here. And we'll get into that and much, much more with Dr. Lynn Kitai, author of The Phoenix Lights, tonight on your G&D show, Demon Hunter.
Bum, bum, bum.
What do you think about that?
Excited? I'm excited, man. I'm very excited.
You should be. That's a good show.
You know, it's one of these things. Over the years, you and I doing this show, all the projects we've worked on before and after the show, and all the places we've gone, all the haunted locations,
right,
looking up at the sky at night for UFOs, sleeping in the woods looking for Bigfoot. This is one of those phenomenons I have very little experience with. You know, I'm right there with everybody else who's gotten all their information from watching the news or, you know, a TV special or something like that. I just don't know. And I am really looking forward to getting to pick the brain of somebody who actually has some insight on this.
Well, what gets me, and I know people can be duped, right? But, I mean, you have these skeptics that they have found in, you know, all of self-proclaimed skeptics. I don't believe in that. And then you have educated historians, scientists, doctors that witness an occurrence like this. And not just in the United States, Demon Hunter. But as you could tell, guys, by the recording we played earlier, this stuff happens constantly around the world. And it's usually sheltered from us. It's kept from us. And not a lot of people, it's just so frequent anymore. People just, they let it go, you know? Just, they don't want to hear
it. They do. And it's also one of those things that there's so, like I said, there's so little information that all you get is on the news, on the, and I think one of those news clips we listened to at the beginning of the show there, Sean, really put it into perspective. They didn't call them skeptics. They called them critics.
Yes, critics. And that's
because a skeptic tells you what he thinks.
Right, right.
Where a critic tells you what he thinks you should think.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a big difference there when you get down to the meat of it, because I have no problem with a skeptic coming in saying, I can't believe this because... And somebody else who comes out and says, you're a moron if you believe this because I don't believe it.
Right.
You know, that's why I said I have respect for people who look in the face of science and say, nope, it doesn't match with my faith. So
right.
I was being honest when I said that.
Folks. Well, I got a chance to, speak with Dr. Kitai. And, she's great. She's very personable, and she travels around, and she tries to educate people on these things. And her life was totally transformed when this happened. She had absolutely no interest in this stuff at all. And, I mean, wait until you hear the story. We can't get into it yet. We're going to let her do it. But, wow, the cover-ups, the stuff that comes out of this was just amazing, mind-boggling. And things like this happen all the time. We've had Dr. David Jacobs came on, and he talked about the, what was it, Demon Hunter? The clone, or not the clones, the, what was it? The alien-human hybrids.
Oh, right.
That walk amongst us or whatever. And
another smart one there. I mean, looking at Dr. Lin's bio, she looks like a very smart, intelligent, educated woman.
Absolutely.
So I got to ask you, Sean, because I'm going to be on the phone with her here in a little bit. When she started speaking, did you start to feel a little monosyllabic there? like she was looking at you going, well, you know,
I just played
take this and divide it by this and give right. this and add this to it, you get this. And you sit there thinking, I have a pony.
I like turtles.
I no. like chocolate.
Yeah. No, she was really, she's really cool. You guys will see that tonight. And she was just, she's just out of this world. Not really. I mean. She's just get it? You didn't. That took a minute, man. That took a minute.
Oh, that took a full minute to sink in.
Yeah, but like you said, Dr. Jacobs that came on, professor, retired professor from it escapes me now. The owls, whatever. their mascot's the owl, but. It was, I mean, these people are coming forward and saying this stuff, and kudos to them. Kudos to them.
Hey, have you noticed a raise in our guests lately, Sean? We've had doctors, professors, lawyers coming on the show, and I got to say, I walk away thinking I got in the wrong profession, because these people are doing a lot better than I am.
Are they?
When I told my father I wanted to be a broadcaster, I don't think I'd ever seen a man cry till that day.
Temple. Dr. Jacobs was from Temple University.
There you go.
You remember that? Yeah. So, I mean, these are educated people that we get on our show. Can you believe it? It's amazing. Demon Hunter, listeners around the world in the news.
I have a pony.
I have a pony. It's always fresh. It's always
I'm just laughing.
It's always exciting. And it starts right
now.
Ooh.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the news. That's Weird News, where Sean and I pick the stories out of the paper, I'd say, but it's really the internet. And we pick them according to the titles we like best. We don't get a chance to read them in advance. So the fun part for you is you get to play the G&D drinking game. Every time Sean and I make a mistake, you take a drink. Heck, we will too. Not that we ever drink in the theater,
in the
studio.
Theater.
We'd never do that. but we, as we read along and make our several mistakes, you get to take a sip.
That's it.
And we ask that if you are listening to this while in the car at 102.7 The Hog, that you don't play the G&D drinking game. Or if you're planning to drive later or do anything important, please listen responsibly.
And the rest of you around the world, Don't drink and drive. Demon Hunter, first up tonight from our friends at the Huffington Post. Bigfoot unveiling turns into a huge toe job. You ready for this one?
Oh, I see a jam coming.
That's it. Ah, that's good. Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, the world's most terrifying creature, Bigfoot, has arrived in New York City. Sort of. Yeah. With little fanfare, we previously warned you, announced to you, that the Tiny Top Circus, the greatest and smallest traveling show on Earth, huh?
I'm listening.
Have you ever heard of it? You're out that way.
The Tiny Top Circus? Nope, never heard of it.
Tiny Top Circus, the greatest and smallest traveling show on Earth, would present a real Bigfoot in Manhattan's Washington Square Park today. The long-anticipated moment happened at high noon with the presentation of, for the first time ever, Bigfoot, a very big foot. This is great. One publicity poster announcing the biggie event spelled out on a variety of rules that the public was encouraged to heed prior to the creature's unveiling. Proceed at your own risk. People with heart conditions or those prone to fainting, be warned. Kind of about our show there. It sounds the same.
Yeah.
Kind of warnings. No one with serious medical conditions allowed. All children must be accompanied by an adult. We're not responsible for any medical or psychological problems resulting from this encounter. Stand back at least 3 feet from the cage. What? Bigfoot can't reach over 3 feet from the cage?
Well, I would think he'd have a bigger arm span. Maybe there's a protective ring that keeps him away from
it.
Might be.
It says, do not touch, pet, or feed. Do not scream. Prank artist Joey Skaggs is the sheer genius behind the latest Bigfoot debacle, of which there have been many. But Skaggs, and we covered him on this show. But Skaggs, yes. We probably had him on this show. But Skaggs takes the concept, there's a sucker born every minute, to the ultimate degree. Skaggs circled Washington Park, Square Park, in a tiny big top pulled by the tricycle when the tent flaps came up. There was Skaggs, dressed as a giant foot. The prankster laughed and told the crowd, if you believe in Bigfoot, you're at least as gullible as people who believe in religion or politics. Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Easy, Skaggs, easy. Not going to make many friends, you know? And wait! We couldn't help notice something amazing about the look that Skaggs brings to his Bigfoot. The following composite images show on the left. Yeah, of course, you guys can't see it. The face of Bigfoot displayed by hunter Rick Dyer. You might remember that. Demon Hunter. Remember? It was like a wood-carved Bigfoot.
Yep.
Yeah, Rick Dyer. That's the only guy, Demon Hunter, that came out. And they found out he was a fake on the first try. And then he called back. And he was the one that said, this time I'm serious. I really got it. And he sent all this stuff, and they still covered it on CNN. You know, that shows you right there.
He could call it. He waited for them to be hurting for news stories.
Yeah. Anyway.
Said, no, this time I mean it.
It shows the face of Bigfoot displayed by hunter Rick Dyer earlier this year until he finally confessed. It was all faked. On the right side of the... Why would he do that? To get more Facebook friends or something? That's a lot of trouble. On the right side of the image, of course, is the hoaxer Skaggs, which is just an old bearded man. Kind of looks like... Looks like an old bearded man in a foot costume. Has Skaggs inside that Bigfoot costume he just appeared in earlier today. And it says, do you notice any facial similarities here? Because they're both hairy. You know what I mean? Anyway, Skaggs...
Well, that's...
Better be careful in New York.
That's quite a story, Sean.
You better be careful in New York, man.
You never know what's going to jump out at you and trip you.
Oh, a toe with jam.
Yes.
Can you imagine being chased by a toe across the yard at night?
Where do you get this?
Also
from our friends out there at the Huffington Post, Harvard book is bound in human skin.
Ooh.
New study reveals... Harvard University owns a book covered in human skin, literally.
Where'd they get it from,
literally,
Satan?
Book, literally, Sean?
Yeah. Literally.
In a blog post published on Wednesday, the university announced that the Huntington Library copy of Arsene Houssay's Destiny's Dilemma is without doubt bound in human skin.
Yeah.
Samples from the binding went through multiple tests before researchers concluded they were 99.9% confident that the binding is of human origin.
Oh.
19th century French writer Hussein said... Hussein's book is a collection of essays meditating on the soul and the afterlife, according to Harvard. As the story goes, Hussein gave the book to his friend, Dr. Ludwig Borland.
Von Frankenstein.
Who then
La Bruca.
Had the binding it rebound and left a manuscript explaining why. A translation expert follows. Oh, I'm sorry. And a translation excerpt follows. Have a drink, folks. This book is bound in human skin parchment on which no ornament has been stamped to preserve its elegance. By looking carefully, you easily distinguish the pores in the skin.
Yeah.
A book about the human soul deserves to have a human covering. I had kept this piece of human skin taken from the back of a woman.
What? How did he know it was taken from the back of a woman? Did he do it?
Maybe he took it himself.
I don't know. That's weird, man.
As the Atlantic reports, in the anthropodermic biography. I don't know. I have two drinks on me, folks.
Slam them up.
Or the practice of binding books in human skin was somewhat common in the past.
Yeah.
So I guess that's you know what, Sean?
Give up on that.
I can't read that word, and that's okay, because it's time for us to remind folks who are listening to us at 102.7 The Hog that we'll be right back after this.
Shadow Nation listeners around the world, this is your Mystifying Oracle Radio, and we're back, and we're right in the middle of the news segment. So if you're joining us now, here we go. Welcome back. Demon Hunter?
Yes.
Are you going to finish? Are you going to wrap that story up? Or
you know what, folks? If you're just tuning in now.
Shame on you.
We were talking about a book at Harvard wrapped in human skin, and I could not get the word forget it.
Anthropologist? It's an anthropologist.
Halfway through the show later, I'll be able to say it, and I'll shout it out.
Hey, our good friends at Huffington Post got another one for us, guys.
Ooh, man, they're doing well.
Doing good. They always come through for us.
They always do.
They do. Man lives in Boeing 727, Demon Hunter.
Why?
I don't know. Let's read. Hidden away in the woods of Hillsboro, Oregon. It's always in Oregon. Is a Boeing 727-200 being converted into an airplane home?
Well, see, that's one way to go.
He can. I wonder if he uses these frequent flyer miles. When he has the ladies come up. Who would have thought there would be a full-size 153-foot passenger plane 50 minutes away from my home? Apparently, the reporter lives over there. It really is quite a sight. I would like to thank Bruce Campbell for... Oh, there you go, Demon Hunter, for allowing me to shoot time lapses on his property. Is this the Bruce Campbell? Hold on. Is this the Bruce Campbell?
The property itself must belong to Bruce.
I don't know. For more information about Bruce's airplane home visit, you guys can go to airplanehome.com. The weather here in Oregon was not cooperating with me every time I had free time to head out there to shoot. Almost every time I went out there, it was just solid white clouds and raining. A lot of times I wish I had longer than a 6-foot rail for the DP dolly. There's so many other shots I wanted to get out, but he ran out of time. All shots of the time lapse, da 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 da. But apparently, and I don't think this is Bruce Campbell is living in this.
I think it must be a different Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, I think it is.
Unless he's planning to use this in My Name Is Bruce 2.
But it's a picture. This guy is living in this thing. It's a huge Boeing 727. I mean, it is a plane. He's got it jacked up the front on skids. Yeah, it's got the wheels on it and everything. He's got the front like it's taken off, you know. It's jacked up on skids. How do you get an airplane jacked up on skids?
It couldn't be easy. I wonder if when he goes, when he has to travel anywhere, if he gets on the plane and goes, ah, feels like home.
Ah, kicks his shoes off.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has stewardess on his...
do you think he makes his wife walk around in a little stewardess outfit?
I would. If I could get Stacy to do that. I don't know. I might talk to her after the... After the show.
Is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable, sir?
Yes. Flight attendant. Can I get some of those little peanuts again?
That's what she said.
Yeah, it is what she said. I wonder if he serves peanuts, if he just sits there and eats them. And I wonder if it still has the... Some of the TVs have the... or some of the airplanes still have the TVs in the back of the seats. I wonder if he's got it hooked up so that works.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I wonder if he has the seats in there. I mean, I wonder if that's his living room or if it's more like one of those private planes, you know?
Hey, Demon Hunter, you know Father's Day's coming up. This is off the news a little bit. What are you thinking that you should get me?
What should I get you?
I'm not your father, but, you know. What do you think would be a good present for Dad?
Sean, I am your father.
See? No! Are you going to cut my hand off now? Is that...
Wouldn't you if you found out that?
That's a classic. Cut my tongue.
Come on, nobody caught that? Nobody expected Darth Vader
to be
his father?
Hey, Demon Hunter, the naked bike ride in Portland showed everyone's vulnerabilities.
Oh, it showed a lot more than that.
Pictures look great there. Comes out of Reuters. How do you say that? Reuters.
It's Reuters?
Yeah, it's by Shelby Siebens, Portland, Oregon. Thousands of bicyclists, many of them. I just told the wife that we need to start bicycling, too, down at the park. It's a good idea.
You're going to start bicycling down at the park nude?
Yeah. Many of them stark naked poured into the streets of Portland, Oregon on Saturday night for the 11th annual World Naked Bike Ride. Man, our luck, Demon Hunter, huh? All the weekends.
Why weren't we working in Oregon this week? I don't know.
Yeah, all the weekends not to go to Oregon. Versus the rest of them that really not go to Oregon. Anyway,
all of a sudden, flights to Oregon were really expensive last week.
Yeah. The World Naked Bike Ride, a protest that promotes bike riding as an alternate to driving cars. Nude cyclists with lights flashing in their tire spokes rang bells as they barreled down avenues lined with cheering spectators.
Yeah. Rang my bell.
Lined with drunk guys. While a naked, apparently pregnant woman rode in a bike trailer... This is a party, but it's also a protest, said Carl Larson, a ride spokesman. It is about oil dependence, cycling vulnerability, and body image. Huh? Oil dependence. Okay. Cyclists showed up in Normandale Park an hour before the ride, shedding garments according to the ride theme, as bare as you dare. That's a good one. The rides are held. I bet they made thousands off of that, if not a million. The rides are held in more than 75 U.S. cities and in more than 20 other countries, but Portland's is believed to be the largest with more than 8,000 participants, drink up, guys, last year. But unlike events in other cities, Demon Hunter, the Portland ride works with local police being considered as a protest. Officers direct traffic during what is generally a trouble-free event. Well, of course, nobody wants to get in a fight where you're naked. You know what I mean?
You can see right where to kick you, man. It's I understand that a lot of the money they raise is thrown at the women in singles.
$1 bills? That's crazy. Yeah. They tip them. Here you go, ladies. Thanks for the ride. Oh, that's great. Neighbors look on as a marching band played, and the dancers kicked off the start. Later, a naked punk band jammed from the sidelines as bikers...
See, dancers, I told you there were a lot of dollars involved.
Yeah, the naked punk band jammed from the sidelines as bikers rolled past. Fred Tebow, 90... don't tell me he was naked. Fred Tebow, 90, wasn't sure what to think of the hordes of naked... Okay, whew. He wasn't sure what to think of the hordes of naked people in the park across the street from the house he has lived in since 1971. He said it's entertaining and it's stupid at the same time. He said, while he was sitting on his steps watching.
Well, so it's Twilight, but people still watch it.
Yeah. And minutes later, a young woman and a man clad in their underwear used his bathroom. He said it's interesting and stupid at the same time, yet he's sitting on his steps watching while they quote him saying this. Huh? That's interesting.
It's like a train wreck. You just can't look away. You can't.
You can't look away. You can't. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, guys, that's in the news. Isn't it, Demon Hunter? Do you have another?
Well, I've got one last story for you, Sean, because I want my jetpack.
Oh!
I've been, since I was 5 years old, watching Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, I've been waiting for my jetpack, Sean.
Oh, jetpacks, yeah.
And now, it turns out, this comes from us, from the UK, from the Independent.
Yeah.
Daredevil jumps off of 45th floor with a jetpack.
Okay.
It may seem like an extreme way to check out the hotel lobby.
Okay.
But a man has jumped off of the roof of a Four Seasons in Denver, Colorado, with the help of a jetpack.
Yeah.
Daredevil Nick McCumber, strapped into his hydrogen and nitrogen-powered jetpack made by GoFast, and at sunset took off from the 45th floor, making a loop of the building and then landing safely back on the hotel roof.
At least he was safe.
In total, McMember was airborne for around 30 seconds.
Yeah.
McMember's brief journey yesterday was... when was this written?
When did he do it?
Friday the 6th, so on Thursday, I guess.
Yeah. Don't tell him the date. My God.
McMember... yeah, sorry. Sorry, folks. For those of you listening on Archive, it just happened yesterday.
It did. It just
McTember's brief history yesterday was a test flight for the world record attempt from the tallest structure in the Southern Hampshire plane planned for later this year.
Okay.
McMember is no stranger to jetpack travel. In 2012, he carried the Olympic torch flying past the National Space Center in Leicestershire. I think I need glasses, Sean. I'm going to blame it on my glasses.
I thought you had glasses.
arguably, the most famous flight took place at the opening ceremonies of the Los Angeles Olympics in 1984. I kind of remember this happening. When Bill Sutter jetpacked into the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum in front of 100,000 people. In May, a man used a jetpack to navigate around Washington, D.C.'s Ronald Reagan building as part of the Smithsonian Magazine's Future is Here Festival. Mm-hmm. Last year, the world's first practical jetpack was cleared by aviation regulations in New Zealand to allow for manned test flights.
Right.
Okay, so jetpacks are coming, Sean, finally. I'm finally going to get my jetpack.
You're going to get it? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it?
Ready for it? Dude, I've been waiting for it forever.
What are you going to do with the jetpack?
Are you kidding?
What not am I going to do, huh?
That's cooler than my motorcycle, man.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
I did take the motorcycle out today, by the way.
Well, how was that? Anyway, guys, that was in the news. Huh?
That was in the news, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you all got plenty to drink.
Yeah,
except for those of you who are driving. But it was great. It was great to be back out on the bike. You know, I had to take a short ride because we did have a radio show tonight. And all I kept thinking as I was riding down the road past the, you know, the lakes and the trees that are out here by where I live is one wrong turn on this and Sean gets the whole show to himself.
The whole show. The whole show.
Would you continue, Sean? Would you go on without me?
No, I couldn't do it. We're like the yin and the yang, you know? We're the two peas in a pod. We've been doing this too long, 8 years on the air, guys. For our listeners at 102.7, I think we went out last Wednesday, Demon Hunter, was our kickoff, right?
Was it?
I believe it was last Wednesday. I believe we're on at like midnight there, aren't we?
Ooh.
I don't know. They play archives at midnight. Who knows? I think we're going out live now. I don't know.
cool beans.
Cool beans. Yeah, that is cool. I never thought we'd be,
back on FM?
Yeah, back on FM, because we've been there before. But, they got a good thing going out there. They do
but,
a lot of
stuff. It is so neat, but now they're listening to us. It's like time travel again, Sean.
It is like time travel.
We're talking to them in the future.
Because they're an hour ahead of us.
Well, that, and they're going to be listening to us, like, next week.
And then, of course, Stitcher Smart Radio and places like that we go out on, Planet Paranormal, they're listening to us, who knows, behind us, forward, behind, time, because it's all over the world, right?
That's right. We're huge in Manila.
I wanted to mention before we go to a break, how much time we got before the music plays?
We have, right now, we have about 5.5 minutes.
5.5 minutes, we can do this. Now, I was going to say during the guest segment, Demon Hunter, since we didn't talk about this before the show, guys, this is unprofessionalism at its finest. But we're going to talk about it on the air. When the guest comes on, that's a 30-minute segment, sometimes longer. What are we going to do on the breaks?
We will have to take the breaks, but I'm going to keep a close eye on the clock and call them out just before it hits so we don't actually have the music start up.
Okay, I like that. I do.
You know, it's you got to remember, folks, when Sean and I are in here doing this, we're going through news stories and following up on stuff, and we just don't have time to watch that clock. So.
We don't watch the clock. Hey, I wanted to talk about an urban legend, Bloody Mary.
Really,
yeah,
Sean?
Yeah, because we cover this stuff on the show a lot. Now, who hasn't played Bloody Mary when we were kids and stuff?
I got to say, it freaked me out a bit as a kid to even think about trying Bloody Mary.
Even now, kids don't want to go in a dark bathroom and close the door. It says chanting Bloody Mary 13 times. It was 10 times for me. Chanting Bloody Mary 13 times in front of a candlelit mirror in an otherwise dark room will summon her vengeful spirit. The story says go into a bathroom with a mirror and turn all the lights off. Bathrooms seem to be the perfect for this since they almost always have a mirror and are usually dark at night. With the lights off and door closed, light a candle, look into the mirror, start chanting Bloody Mary. You have to do this 13 times, of course. You should see Bloody Mary behind your left shoulder after the 13th time.
Now, Sean, if we actually did this and something appeared behind you, what would you do? You know,
we go out and look for this stuff. I think we'd run scared, but we look for this stuff, though. It says, beware, Demon Hunter. She's killed people before for calling her out. She scratched
Well, then
their
why
eyes.
Would you do it?
She scratched their eyes, drive the person mad, or pull the person into the mirror with her. This is an old legend. It has been around for ages. A folklorist, Janet Langlois, published an essay on the legend back in 78. At the time, the legend was widespread across the U.S. and a popular slumber party ritual done by girls as well as boys. No one knows the true origins, Demon Hunter, of the Bloody Mary tale. She's been known to be anything from a witch that was killed by practicing witchcraft to a modern-day woman killed in a car crash, depending on what part of the country you live in. It was made popular again in the film Urban Legends in 99. Bloody Mary, Demon Hunter.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I seen that, and I thought it was interesting. Now, I tell you, I wanted to take a break, play tonight's band, and play for the listeners that didn't come in some of the news clips from all around the world. Do we need to wait for that break for the hog?
Well, we probably should wait for the break. We've got about, let me see here. Let's see where we are, Mr. Burris.
Yeah, because that's going to take us right up to our break. We're at the 5-minute mark now, guys.
Yeah, we've got 3.5 minutes till we go to break there.
Go to break for 102.7 FM, The Hog. I don't have that sound queued up anymore.
You don't have our hog?
No, I got it right here.
All I was just thinking while we were talking about it, all the different, you were saying that, you know, it was made famous again in the movie Urban Legends, but how many people have done parodies on the whole Bloody Mary phenomenon?
Oh, there's movies out about it. They're like B flicks, but everybody's done that. I think most American kids that grow up, even now, know about the Bloody Mary. I think, anyway. I mean, I know I did. That was real spooky. And there's a couple more, too. What do you got? Bloody Mary. What's the other one? What's the other one about the...
I just remembered on South Park when it was...
What was that? Was that Cartman singing in the background? Who do you got there in studio?
What the
f***
is this?
Oh.
Biggie Smalls.
Biggie Smalls. I don't think you got that fed through the board. I can hear Cartman in the back. He sounded like he was there in studio with you. Yeah,
he was.
Chef. Yeah. Is that still running, South Park?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's still running. It's it just nobody watches it anymore.
No. Hey, did you hear the, you know how we were talking about Slender Man before?
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear that I was talking about earlier, the videos? It was a Russian rock band in 1994, if you guys want to Google it, that they're filming out in a cemetery or a church or something like that. And the camera's passing by real slow. And they see, and this looks real. I think it was 1994. It was a Russian Russian rap band or pop, whatever. Just look it up. 1994, Slender Man. And you actually see this figure of a man with no face wearing a suit. So, I mean, this is something that's been around that, you know, although for creepypasta.com, this figure was created, they say. What inspired that creation? Yeah, and they actually interviewed the rock band, which I'm sure was looking for some publicity, and this caught people's eye. And they said one of their band members had passed away after filming this, and that it wasn't there at the time.
Well, here we go, Sean. It's time for us to go to break,
yeah.
And I guess this would be a good time for us to play some music.
It will, guys.
And come back with that segment that you wanted to play there.
Yeah, we can play that. Guys, we're going to break. Tonight's band, H.D. Holden, the name of the song, Brown Paper Bag. We will be right back.
We got no future. Sucking his praise. Better make your own paper bag. No reason to say. Heroes are dead and gone. Every government sucks. God's lost tongues and hands. Everyone's feeling fucked. No patience at all. Every sheet of shame and pain is more than enough. Better take your blue bones back and give them away. And leave the fuckers fuck themselves without a chance to pray.
UFO in China's skies forced Zhaoshan Airport to stop operations on July 7th. Outbound flights were grounded after the unidentified flying object was detected by a flight crew.
Some Chinese residents are on edge this morning after another apparent UFO sighting. It's the second one in 2 weeks. The first sighting was on July 7th, and an airport had to be shut down.
All right, that's a UFO if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, can you identify
it? That's undeniable.
After people apparently saw twinkling lights above the airport terminal, 17 flights had to be diverted. The latest sighting happened.
Scientists from all over the world are trying to figure out what caused a mysterious blue light to spiral in the sky over Norway on Wednesday.
As UFO sightings go, this one was as good or as weird as it gets.
A light appearing high in the Arctic sky, baffling those who saw it and exciting a lot of comment.
That tonight, Norwegian authorities are investigating strange lights seen in the Arctic sky. The spiraling white light was seen for several minutes Wednesday morning.
A strange spiraling white light was spotted in the early morning sky over Sydney, with even skeptical witnesses wondering if it was a UFO. The unusual sight was recorded by hundreds of people from Victoria north to Queensland.
A spiral in the sky around a bright light.
Scientists left baffled by an unexplained circular light seen hovering high over Moscow on Wednesday evening. People described seeing a wide circular formation in the sky.
Proof we're not alone in the universe. A UFO in the form of a bright light is seen descending over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. The video is said to be taken over the weekend. Then suddenly the light shoots up into the sky. Here you see it.
Now it is sparking intense debate on the internet. Trace Gallagher following this live from our West Coast News. And so the question is, what was that UFO? What was it doing over Jerusalem? And, you know, is he back?
Yeah, and that is the question, by the way, Megan, because, you know, critics, it's difficult for them to dismiss this because there are so many different angles. We've got four different videos, all from various perspectives.
Well, I wish I could give you an answer to this bizarre sighting. I really can't, but I can tell you that earlier today, there were dozens and dozens of people right here on 23rd and 8th. They were standing right here, and they were all in a stupor, just crowded together, looking into the sky.
Well, a lot of people are looking up. It's because of a mystery in the sky. Is it a balloon, a UFO? Whatever it is, it sure has a lot of people talking. Eyewitness News reporter Jeff Begays is live in Chelsea, where crowds have gathered. Jeff, what's this all about?
Well, Sade, we don't know.
Is very close, and the American people need to prepare themselves very soon for an announcement from our government that there is, in fact, extraterrestrial presence engaging this planet and the human race.
This is Marilyn Roach, author of Six Women of Salem, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest, listeners around the world, everybody listening on Stitcher, Planet Paranormal, 102.7 FM. Tonight's guest, Dr. Lynn Kitai, author of the book, The Phoenix Lights. She's also internationally acclaimed physician and health educator. She came forward after 7 years of silence about the mass sighting that happened in 1997, known as the Phoenix Lights. Since then, she's educated the public on all these happenings. Please help us welcome Dr. Lynn Kitai. Dr. Lynn, what's going on tonight?
So, Sean, how mad are you going to be at me if she's not on here right now?
Oh, she's not. Well, I guess I'll have to do the whole intro. What, did we not have time to get her on, or...
No, we've got an issue right now, which I am currently fixing.
Okay. Well, we can always play another song by McCullough. What do you think about that, Demon?
We'll get this fixed ASAP.
Okay, we're going to play another song, guys. Go to break. Hopefully when we come back, we'll have Dr. Lynn Kitai on the phone. Demon Hunter, we'll be right back.
Yes, we will.
Child, take my bed and
dream my dreams. Dream my dreams.
I'm back here. This is Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, listeners around the world, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Wow, we got a hot show tonight. Tonight's guest, Dr. Lynn Keetai, author of the book The Phoenix Lights. She's also known as internationally acclaimed physician and health educator. She came forward after 7 years of silence about the mass sighting that happened in 1997, known as the Phoenix Lights. Since then, she spends her time educating the public on these happenings. Please help us welcome tonight's guest, Dr. Lynn Keetai. Dr. Lynn, what's going on?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me and getting the word out there about our historic and still unexplained Arizona mass sighting that happened in 1997, more than 17 years ago.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Now, I was telling people, we were talking about you before the show, because you got so many things in your list. I couldn't even say in tonight's intro how many things you've accomplished in life and things you've done and you're involved in. Your book, The Phoenix Lights, of course, the sighting inspired that. What can somebody that hasn't seen these things expect out of this book?
Okay. Well, I have to say that it took 7 years of anonymity and intensive, meticulous research, searching for a logical explanation for what both my husband, who's also a physician, and myself had seen up close and personal and photographed 2 years prior to the mass sighting, and then again 2 months before the mass sighting. I caught the exact same mile-wide phenomena, head-on turning into a V-shape. Anybody that's listening that cares to look at the unique photo collection on the Phoenix Lights Network website, thephoenixlights.net website, on the photo page.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary stuff, because here I'd been seeing these things for 2 years, and then a month after I saw them in January 97, thousands of people, not only statewide, but throughout New Mexico, Nevada, and also California, saw a 1 to 2 mile wide either formation of these orbs, balls of light, equidistant, totally equidistant from each other, that seemed to be connected to this, to something, but they couldn't quite see what it was connected to, in a V shape, or craft. And there were actually 9 or 10 different craft that people saw that are illustrated on the GAP page, GAP, Geospatial Animation Project, on the Phoenix Lights website. I mean, we've gone to extreme lengths to have this researched and compiled, thousands of reports, and over 10,000 people statewide saw this. And it was for many, many hours. There's so much mis and disinformation out there that ultimately, after I had done the homework for everybody, and myself included, because again, I've been searching for a logical explanation, and have yet to find one 17 years later, and my photographic evidence, 35 millimeter, has been analyzed and authenticated by university and military experts, optical experts, and they're true unknowns. So ultimately, as an educator, and you mentioned that at the beginning, mm-hmm. Ironically, I've been actually donating my time and monies and expertise for almost 40 years for community education, prevention on vital health issues. So when this fell in my lap and I finally came up with a 750-page journal 7 years later, I was really compelled as an educator and a scientist and an experiencer to let people know that they're not crazy. Yes, most things can be explained, but there is a small percentage that cannot. And just because we don't have the technology yet to definitively define what these things are, as we didn't for 17 centuries before the advent of the microscope,
right,
alerted us that there are zillions of microorganisms all around us, even in our bodies, it doesn't mean they're not real. So finally, I came forward in 2004 with the first edition of the book and actually updated it twice. We have the third edition that came out last year with even more stunning data that I never thought I'd share, and also what's happened since I came forward from 7 years of anonymity in 2004. And then we produced a wonderful, internationally acclaimed and award-winning documentary. Steve Lance, filmmaker, and I put this all together, and we're so proud, and so many wonderful people have contributed to that. And now I'm working on a curriculum for kids.
Now, see,
that's what I've been doing for 35 years on vital health issues.
But I love that. I love
really
that, Dr. Lynn.
On this issue. So there's a lot to this story.
I love that documentary. I watched it, the whole thing, and I seen you reenact exactly what happened that night. Now, for our listeners around the world, can you break it down? What happened that fateful night when it changed your life?
Well, for me, it was just another night. I saw the same exact phenomenon, the same exact location. Actually caught one of the handful of videos from that night. My video is the 3 points of light, like a giant mile-wide endpoints of a V. And, you know, what when you go into it, and again, there is so much of this story, and I do hope people will just take a peek, and that's why I came forward, to try to be a credible voice so people actually look at the data, because it speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, when you listen to their stories, and this went right over people's heads. I mean, this is very low altitude, and we're talking people from all walks of life, from military to pilots to air traffic controllers to school children, saw these 1 to 2 mile wide in very credible reports, phenomena glide right over their heads, very slow, about 30 miles an hour, and some people did see it take off at tremendous speed. I mean, there were people that not only said they could have thrown a rock at it, it was that low, but also people that saw this thing take off at blink speed without a sound. That was what was so eerie to everyone, is that it was totally silent. And I have to add, too, that some people saw that these orbs detach from the main object, go out into the environment, and then redock with it. And if you look at the pictures that I took from 95, 2 years before the mass sighting, the same exact phenomena is in the same exact location in the distance when we're focused on the close sighting orbiting of these orbs. And that might have been what happened in 95, but be that as it may, the data is there for people to look at, and I hope that they do. And, you know, not only that, but I have to say, too, and this is really important, there is not one report, in over 17 years that I'm aware of, and I've been pretty intimately involved with this investigation, of harm, threat, or abduction associated with the Phoenix Lights. I can't talk for other things, but these phenomena, when I started to look into it, and I knew nothing about this topic, have been occurring since human documentation began. I mean, we're talking even, you know, carved out etchings in primitive caves and petroglyphs, and there's a whole huge story about that in the native peoples here that have been seeing these things around the world for centuries, and certainly they've been seen around the world since. And the only explanation, and this is how the story unfolded, is really interesting too. And that was another reason I came forward, because I really, really tried to not only find a logical explanation, but I checked with military. I kept track of the media and so forth to show how the story unfolded. And it's fascinating. That alone is fascinating, because there was no investigation, no explanation, even though these people saw things right over their head. And I mentioned there were 8 or 9 different craft, whether it was one craft that could morph into looking differently, or it was the perspective from where the person was standing, or a parade of different craft. And from all indications, because there were multiple things happening in multiple locations and at the same time, that's what the investigators, after the last 17 years of investigation, have decided, that it was a parade. And till today, we have no idea what they were. But there was no investigation, no explanation for months. And it's very interesting when you really look at the data, is on June 18th, there was a front page article in USA Today opening up our sighting to international scrutiny. It was the first time that most people outside of Arizona heard about this, and we were deluged by media from all over the world. And once they started talking to the witnesses, their stories were so detailed and so heartfelt that they too were asking, what do you do? Why is there not an investigation or an explanation? Sure. This is unbelievable. Went right over people's heads. And suddenly, the very next morning, the former governor Symington announced that they caught the culprit, and he was going to divulge who it was that afternoon. I mean, suddenly, after months of nothing, they called a press conference, and he comes marching out, one of his aides, in a giant alien head costume. And I have to tell you, in fact, it's amazing that the one of the security people that actually brought him out during this was totally flustered. And he attended our anniversary showing. Every year we have an anniversary celebration with a documentary and speakers at the Scottsdale Harkins Shea Theater. It's always sold out. I hope anybody in the area, please come if you're in town in March. But anyway, he came up to me this year and told me that he was mortified when this happened. I mean, he actually came to our event, and anyway, it was very disheartening for the witnesses as well, because especially parents that were with kids, because they knew that what they saw was totally extraordinary. And what's really interesting is that about a month later, and keep in mind, there were only a handful of videos, the only hard evidence from that night, because people did try to take pictures of it. We didn't have cell phones with cameras yet, yeah. But those that did try to take pictures, it didn't turn out because it was so massive and blocked out the stars that all their pictures were black. But those of us that did get pictures of the lights, that was pretty impressive if you really look at the data. An arrowhead, a boomerang, mine is the three ends totally equidistant of a giant V or triangle. And they had to say, they had to come up with something to dispel them. So about a month later, I get a call from, and I had checked again with all the military statewide, and they had no idea. By the way, they were just as curious, and I do talk about that in the book and share some of their conversations, which are quite comical and interesting. But anyway, I get a call from one of the heads of PR at the Air National Guard, and she says, Dr. Lynn, I think we know what those lights were back in March. And I was thrilled. I said, great, what were they? She said, do you believe that in all these months, and this is July 24th, that nobody ever looked at the log for visiting Air National Guard, and the Maryland Air National Guard was in town sending off flares in Operation Snowbird, which I later found out in military terms mean diversionary tactical maneuvers, and it has been a diversion ever since, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
But she said, that must be what some people saw. That's exactly what she said.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, wait a minute, when were they in town, the Maryland Air National Guard? She said, March 1st to the 15th. And I said, well, were they in town in January? She said, no. I said, are you sure? She said, absolutely not. I said, well, I have 35-millimeter photographs of the same exact phenomena in the same exact location, confirmed the next morning, because I called around and found air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor who saw the same thing at the same time over Class B restricted airspace, about 1,000 feet altitude. And she says, you never told me that. And then the next thing I say is, and you're trying to tell me that flares, and I had educated myself to what they were,
yeah,
by then, that military illumination flares that are used to illuminate the area around it, have huge smoke trails that are illuminated by the flare itself, not one person that saw the Phoenix lights described that, traverse the entire state, because they fall haphazardly and in minutes. And I said, and they travel the entire state in a rock solid, equidistant V formation, mile wide, for hours.
Yeah.
We're talking over a dozen hours here. And she says, I have a call coming in. I'll get back to you. Well, I'm still waiting.
Exit stage left,
and,
huh?
And then, go ahead. Well, go ahead. But I just wanted, as an aside, after that, we, of course, said, fine, if they're military, then reenact it. And actually, there was only one elected official who came forward innocently, because she didn't see it. She just had so many constituents, over 1,000 constituents, call her. Frances Barwood, Councilwoman Vice Mayor Frances Barwood, who 3 years later was running for Secretary of State on a platform to get answers for the Phoenix lights.
Mm-hmm.
And she was plastered, I have to tell you. There was so much ridicule and
criticizing.
And I mean, it wasn't funny for the people that were really misrepresented, and they tried to discredit her as well as the experts. But anyway, she was asking for a reenactment. And suddenly, and you can look at the pictures right on the news page, the CNN Arizona 3 family did a wonderful report on March the 7th, right before the third anniversary in 2000. They announced that 3 Air National Guards were coming into town to send off flares to show everyone the Phoenix lights. Now, I don't know if they wanted to just confuse the issue further, which certainly it has, or dispel the whole thing and think that people wouldn't remember. But everyone was out in force, including the media and the witnesses, and it was nothing like the Phoenix lights. I mean, they fell apart immediately. They had used smoke trails. This is what flares look like. So that kind of put the lid on the idea that it was flares. So anybody that has heard that, you can, you know, pretty much take it to the bank. It was definitely not flares. But what is it? I don't know. But what happened after the 10th anniversary, and I'll finish with this, suddenly the former Governor Symington came forward right after the 10th anniversary to admit and, you know, bravely announce that he actually saw it. He saw the Phoenix lights mass sighting, the craft, and in his own words, it was otherworldly.
Now, he now speaks out at MUFON conferences and stuff like that. I've seen it. He talks about this.
Well, not too much, but he has talked about it, and he was on Larry King and several other programs to share his side of it, which is wonderful. That was a giant step to have an elected official, admit that he actually saw something, and he tried to investigate it, and he was stonewalled as well. And finally, 10 years later, for whatever reason, he did come forward to say that he saw it, which is, you know, really, really important that people know that it's enough, that, you know, whatever these things are, and I've never said what they are, only that they are, but that it's time we get this out in the open and we address it, we accept it, and we study it so we can find out who's driving these things, as well as move forward in our own evolution, because this is something that isn't new. This has been around for many, many centuries, and the native peoples are very aware of this and very open to these phenomena. And, you know, I think it's time that that we, too, take a step forward and start addressing these things and studying them and find out what they are and who's behind it. Don't you?
It's one of those things where we see them, we know that they're there, but I guess the satellites are just never in place at the right time to catch it.
Well, that's not true, because NASA has caught many anomalous phenomena, aerial phenomena, and either they take it down or some people have captured them, and those two are on our website, and you know, if you look for it, you know, there's a lot more to this story, and I don't get into the whole cover-up thing or whatever. I'm just sharing the data, and people can make up their own minds, but there is certainly much more to the story, and you know, these things are happening worldwide. By the way, when I did come forward in 2004, the official explanation and accepted explanation, except for the witnesses and experts, of course, that were studying this, was that the Phoenix lights were merely military illumination flares. Well, you know, I am so proud of our own work getting out there, but thankfully other people have gone out there, and that's I mentioned, the more credible people that come forward, the better. I mean, most things can be explained, but, you know, when you're dealing with these similar phenomena, and now they're happening worldwide, it's been out there so much with social media now, which is terrific, that people are seeing things and documenting them on their, you know, cameras and cell phones and posting them. And now when people see similar phenomenon, just go on YouTube. It'll be amazed. I'm amazed.
You know,
they're comparing the similar phenomena to the Phoenix lights. And that's really cool, because it really has become the most historic, most documented, most widely seen mass sighting in modern times, if not history.
You know, Dr. Kitai, one of the things that just boggles my mind is Senator the military news knew nothing. You called him right away. This is happening. Oh, ma'am, we don't know. And all of a sudden, what, 2 or 3 days later, they say, oh, yeah, that's right. There was visiting aircraft in our airspace that we knew nothing about. We're sorry. And before that, the governor of Phoenix calls Senator the governor called Senator McClain in on this?
McCain.
Yeah.
McCain was contacted, like I said. You know, he was supposedly stonewalled, and so was McCain.
Yeah.
McCain tried to find out what was going on. I mean, there was a lot going on behind the scenes, and, you know, one wonders suddenly the day after the USA Today article comes out and they finally couldn't hide it anymore, you know, why he called a press conference and tried to make a joke out of it. And it wasn't a joke for the witnesses, certainly. And, you know, I have to say, in good conscience, I couldn't stick what I had personally in a drawer and condensed a 750-page journal to the first edition of the book, The Phoenix Lights of Skeptics, Discovery That We Are Not Alone, because I'm still a healthy skeptic. I mean,
right.
If somebody showed me what it was, if somebody really reenacted it, and, you know, I could see it in front of my own eyes as I saw these phenomena 2 years prior to the mass sighting, which I have to say did not seemed that they were from here. I mean, they were so advanced and interdimensional. And, you know, if we have this kind of technology, why haven't we seen it 17 years later,
right?
You know?
Right.
As Sean and I were saying earlier, the difference between a skeptic and a critic is a skeptic tells you what they think, and a critic tells you what they think you should think.
Right. Well, it's their opinion.
Right.
And, you know, I get that. And, you know, on the even go a step further are the debunkers. And believe me, they're out there. And it's a scary proposition to come forward. But again, I'm just putting the data out there and people can decide for themselves. But debunkers are actually out there, and they are out there to discredit the messengers so that people don't listen to the message. And, you know, also, you know, at this point, when they keep saying that they're flares or they were planes in formation, I mean, it's laughable, because if you really look at the data, it's nothing like that.
Dr. Kitai, I have a two-part question. does the president of the United States know that these things exist? And if they do, I know you said there was no abduction things reported, anything like that. But in your own opinion, what do you think we're being visited for?
What do we think? What?
What do you think we're being visited for?
Do I think we're being visited?
No. What do you think? What is their purpose?
Why are they visiting?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I honestly, you can speculate that, you know, because, I have to tell you, and I can't speak for other things that are out there, but for, as far as the Phoenix Lights, they really did a job. Not only did they awaken people, not only statewide, but again, beyond our borders, to the fact that something is visiting us that is not from here. And maybe they are from here, but they're not what we know as our reality. And on the other side, you know, I have to tell you, it affected people, when I go into this in the book, in a such a profound way, a deep, deep transformation occurred in real time and long term. That in itself is fascinating to study because, the movie Independence Day was real popular 6 months before the mass sighting. And when children, and a lot of times children were the ones to first see this mile-wide deformation of lights coming towards them, and they were scared because of our mindset. We go into this in the documentary, and I also discuss it in the book, how we're just so inundated with this threat and harm, that when you see something that's unusual, you know, people get scared, and kids were jumping up and down, Independence Day. But I have to tell you, as the phenomena got closer, not only children but adults as well had a calmness take over them, felt a connectedness to the phenomena, a joy, a wonder. I mean, it's unbelievable when you talk to every single witness. It's the same thing over and over again. And when it passed by, a lot of the kids wanted to chase after it and have their parents get in the car. That doesn't happen with balloons or blimps or flares, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, there was really a profound, not only in real-time transformation, but long-term. I mean, there are still people emailing me, and I welcome people, again, to go on the website, thephoenixlights.net, or to go on the Phoenix Lights Network Facebook page and share. Share with me personally. My contact is right there. It's very cathartic to share, and that was another reason I came forward as a physician, to let people know it's really important not to let your experience that's real to you, even if it can be explained, fester and not share it with anyone, because it's very healing, very cathartic to share, even with just one person. So, you know, I have to tell you, when you really look at the data, and there were also a number of witnesses, by the way, who had near-death experiences as children, it was reawakened by the mass sighting. And when I heard that from witnesses that told me time and time again, it really hit hard, because I did too. And I share my childhood near-death experience and in great detail in the book. But what was important is that I thought to myself, wow, I mean, could there possibly be a connection between all unexplained phenomena, whether it's near-death experience, out-of-body experience, or unexplained aerial phenomena that have a mystical light associated with the experience?
Right.
And lo and behold, when I started looking for credible data, boy, did I find it. I mean, there are books written, big, thick books, the Omega Project at the University of Connecticut, and Dr. Kenneth Ring, and Dr. Ray Fowler, and many others were studying that exact thing, the connection between all unexplained phenomena, and I started calling them UPS, a UP, unexplained phenomenon UP, because not only is the experience very similar, and I lay that out very simply in the book, but the after effect is so profound, the awakening, the enlightenment that happens within an individual who truly experiences an up experience is life-changing connectedness to the universe and to the earth and to each other that's realized most times for the very first time, and it changes people forever. And I have heard this over and over and over again. So, you know, you ask the question, why are they here? You know, I have to tell you, you know, in a gentle way, they are waking us up to their presence as well as waking us up to who we are, as human beings, and also the message, and this is the most profound of all, and this is over and over again, not only from the Phoenix Lights, but also from near-death experiencers come back, saying that whoever they met or had telepathic messages from in their experience, and I did too, the message was, wake up to what you're doing to ourselves and our planet before it's too late. And if that's not an important reason to come forward, I don't know what is.
Hey, Sean, I just want to say this is where we have to take that break for for 102.7 The Hog. And we just need to take a 2-second break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, listeners around the world, Shadow Nation, thanks for joining us again. Of course, we are talking to Dr. Lynn Ikitai, author of The Phoenix Lights, A Skeptic's Discovery That We Are Not Alone. We're actually getting ready to wrap up. That break couldn't have come at the worst time.
I know. I just had to throw it in there in case we needed it.
Okay, I just got to say, Dr. Lynn, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I know we're running short on time. Demon Hunter, do we need to ask Dr. Lynn to stay on the line for 1 second?
Yes, we do.
Dr. Lynn, could you stay on for just about 5 seconds?
Absolutely.
We're going to close out the show. And once again, Dr. Lynn Ikitai, guys, author of The Phoenix Lights, A Skeptic's Discovery That We Are Not Alone.
Hey, Dr. Lynn, I just have one question before we go. We kept talking about skeptics. We kept talking about the government. We kept talking about people coming forward. Have there been any leaks of information that that somebody does know something that they're not telling?
Well, that's why it's important to read the book, because there is much more to this story, and I hope people will check it out and check out the Phoenix Lights Network Facebook page, because I post daily or weekly updates as well. And just so you know, I also have the links to our documentary. It's available on Amazon.com and so forth, but there's also links on there if you want to take a peek at the documentary online, and a lot of good stuff. I mean, there is so much information. We could talk for hours, and like I said, I condensed the best and most credible information from a 750-page journal into 250 pages, so I hope people will pick it up and read it. It is a fascinating story in and of itself, and also just to hear it from the witnesses themselves in our documentary is riveting, because it's so real, and it's happening worldwide, and I keep telling people, keep looking up.
Watch the skies. And like I said, thank you so much, Dr. Lynn, for coming forward, because you're actually, people like you are preparing us for what I think is going to be a huge, huge upcoming event in the near future, very near future, where the government is going to say, we are not alone. All right, stay tuned, guys. We are going to close out the show. Demon Hunter?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Lynn. Please stay on the line. It's time to pay some bills. I got to say it this week.
Thanks for carrying us, guys. Planet Paranormal, Stitcher, Smart Radio, 102.7 FM, The Hog, Creative Commons, Midnight Syndicate, and FreeMusicArchives.com. Thanks for the tunes. Hey, from the haunted backroads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing, America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.